It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Philippians as we continue that sweet study, and we're in the chapter, the fourth chapter, and we're going to read the fourth through the seventh verse. And so please that you open your Bibles and follow along with me. Philippians chapter 4, reading from verse 4 to verse 7. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to welcome you to the study today and hope that you enjoy it. We're here to search the Word of God, to enjoy the Word of God. Again, if you're able to have your Bibles open with you, that's great. If you can't, please listen very carefully that you can enjoy the precious words. Philippians chapter 4, we'll begin reading with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after reading the precious word. Father, I ask you today that you'll help us, that you will guide and lead us ever so carefully as we go through your precious word today, that we'll learn from it, that we never open your word, that we do not learn of your will and of your way. Please, Lord, that you will guide us and you'll direct us. I ask, Father, today that you will convict the hearts of the lost, all those that are still in their sin. They have not been bought and paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, Father. They have not trusted in your Son for salvation. They have continued to trust in themselves and their own ways. I ask, Father, that you will just awaken them today to their sin and then allow them to see so clearly the Savior you have offered in your Son, the Lord Jesus, that they would trust in Jesus and come to know him today, and that they could truly call him, that he's my Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Christ. Please, Lord, that you will help us to do that. And Father, guide and lead us as we study this word that will draw people unto the Lord Jesus, unto the cross of Calvary where he died for us, where Jesus died for us. And Father, for those of us that are saved and have been saved maybe just a short time or for many years, Lord, help us to grow. Lead us, strengthen us, keep us from wickedness, and set us, Father, on the path of righteousness. Now again, we ask for your leadership and your blessing upon the word that we share today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Such a joy to study the Word of God, and we've been through, if you have been with us in the past weeks, you know that we have studied and spent time concerning rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It's such an honor and a privilege to rejoice in the Lord Jesus. And we come down and we have also been through the fifth verse, which is Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And we spent last week talking about that and had a very sweet time. Hope that you enjoyed it. I sure did. And now we're to the sixth verse. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. You know, too many folks today take no care at all in their lifestyle. They live a very wicked life, a very fast life. Most of them look like they led a very wicked life and a fast life. That's not what we're talking about here. We need to be so careful in our life that we walk and please the Lord Jesus. And when it tells us here to be careful for nothing, it means don't worry. Now, the only way that we can keep from worrying, and we're going to talk about that today, and that is if you're following after Jesus. And to follow after Jesus is more than just naming him as your Savior. It's much more than just saying, yes, I know of Jesus. Jesus has lived upon this earth. Jesus was a good man. You need to know Jesus personally, because you see, when Jesus came to the cross of Calvary and died there for you and for me, when that took place, And most of you folks, I'm sure, celebrate Easter. We go through Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. These are all words that man has kind of worked up. And then we come to Easter Sunday morning. Well, we're looking at during that time, and then you go through a time of your Lenten services. I praise God that we have Bible study every Wednesday night, and we have Bible study every Sunday night. We don't just come up with a study or a preaching service during the Lenten service prior to Easter, as many folks do. It's too bad they don't hunger and thirst for righteousness and want to study the Word of God on a daily basis and not on just a short period of time for a few weeks once a year. I hope that you're not a part of that. If you are, I hope that you ask God to forgive you, come to Jesus and trust Him as your Savior, and begin that sweet and precious walk that you should have in the Lord Jesus. But as many of these names and things like this are familiar to us, we know that as we study the Word of God and search the Word of God, that it can't be, our walk and our life cannot be centered around just an occasion on a something that takes place once a year. You've heard the statement that we have CE Christians. You see them in church on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve when the children have their program, and you'll see them back again on Easter Sunday morning with their best duds on, and that's to most people, to many people, that's all there is. Well, my friend, there is much more to being a Christian, and there's much more in the walk and the joy and the peace of being a Christian. And I hope today, as we study this word and these verses of Scripture, and I've got many verses of Scripture we're going to look up, I hope that you see the Lord Jesus so clearly, ever so clearly. And I hope today that you'll see Him as your Savior. If you do not know Him as your Savior, I hope that you meet Him today. Please do not take one more day, one more hour, or even one more minute and not know Jesus as your Savior, your personal Savior. You know, as we study the Word of God and search the Word of God, it's ever so much I love knowing more about Jesus. Because Jesus, not only, as I started earlier there, we have the celebration around Easter, and you come Easter Sunday morning and He's alive, He is risen. Now, you've been through, and again, if you're one of those CE Christians, or maybe you even really go for it and you hit what they call Ash Wednesday and all those things that go along with it. Again, we study the Word of God here continually, and so we don't change and have something special on Ash Wednesday, Maundy, Thursday, those things. We're talking about the precious death of the Lord Jesus upon the cross of Calvary year-round. We're talking about His resurrection year-round. And now you think about that. If you're coming up to Easter and you're looking to Easter and you come Sunday morning and, oh, it's a bright and it's a glorious day, and you come and you listen to the preacher talk about that He's alive, and you listen to the choirs as they sing and the beautiful music that comes concerning the life of the Lord Jesus, and He's alive, He's come out of that grave alive, He's not dead, He's alive. Well, you bet He is. I serve a living Jesus. But if you've ignored Him, if you've not trusted by faith in Him and come to know Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't know that He's alive. You've sat in that church all of your life, and yet you still do not know that He's alive, and you've not experienced the life that Jesus has to give you and the life that Jesus has. Please, that you follow after Him, seek His will, look for His way, because I want you to be able to not worry. Now, if you're not going to worry, there's some things that have to come. Because you see, the only thing that's going to keep worry away from you, and that's that God's presence can replace it. If you're not in God's will, listening to God, following after His way, you will worry. You're going to worry, and you're going to fret, and you're going to argue, and all these things are the normal person's life. But to be a Christian is not a normal way of life. to be a Christian has many sweet opportunities, and one of them is the peace of God. And you have heard me read that in the seventh verse, and the peace of God. I want you to have the peace of God. You can't get the peace of God by just coming to a few services. You can't get the peace of God and attend every service that we've ever had here. You cannot get the peace of God if you just expect to come and to sit here. The peace of God is gathered into your life, your heart, and your mind by the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, or the absence of the relationship that you have with Jesus. If you do not have Jesus as your Savior, you will not have the peace of God. So we need to begin there. And I ask once again, come to Jesus today and be saved. Repent of your sin. God's convicting you right now of the sin that you have committed, the continual lifestyle and the sin that you have in your life and that burden that's there. My friend, I want you to know that there is joy and there's peace even to walk in this old filthy world. But you got to come to know to Jesus first. And I'd love to introduce you to him right now. Please, that you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. And please come into my heart and save me. Now, will you do that today? And will you turn around then and immediately after this time that we have together, sit down and write me a note. And tell me, Larry, I've just trusted in Jesus. Will you pray for me? And I most certainly will. Please let me know so that I can lift you up in prayer, because the growing begins, the joy begins in being a believer, and I'd love to help you to do that. And you do that by the search and study of the Word of God. Be careful for nothing. Worry. Don't worry. How can you be in this old world and work in this world and be a part of this world as we are forced to be in our daily lives to work and things of that sort? How can we not worry? How can we not fret about things, whether it be our health or our home or paying the bills or getting our children through college or worry about a sick child that we have or worry about our parents that are ill? There's so many things. I can give you a list that would be a mile long about things that we can worry about, and you could probably give me a list just like that and wouldn't even touch on anything that I've talked about. There's so many things that we can worry about. Now, do you want to worry? Do you want to do that? We've been through some very trying and very testing, troubled times in the last few months. It's awful easy to worry. And I'd love to tell you right here and now that I haven't. But I'd be a liar if I did. Because you see, many times when we get busy and we get bombarded by the things of this life, we begin to worry. And we begin to fret. And that does nothing but ruin your health and ruin your relationship with the Lord Jesus, ruin your relationship with those that are around you. Worry is good for nothing. So I'm going to ask you today to listen very carefully, because I don't want you to worry. Now, I've got several verses of Scripture here, and that's kind of the introduction. I know the introduction took about half the time, but I wanted you to see that. I wanted you to see what we're talking about here. And what it takes a relationship with Jesus first. You must know him as your Savior. And then the walk begins to walk after the Lord Jesus that we can honestly say, and it all comes together, doesn't it? Because if you look at verse 4 again, rejoice in the Lord always. How do you do that? How in this world do you rejoice every day, every hour of every day? How do you rejoice? How can you do that with all the things and the troubles and the heartaches and the sickness and everything that's going around? Death is so certain, and there's just not a time that goes by, as I shared a few weeks ago, that I'm not visiting the funeral home because someone I knew or someone I know and care for has lost someone that they love. And so you go to the funeral home and go by to see them. There's not much time, not many weeks that goes by, if any weeks that go by, that doesn't happen. That you don't hear of someone that you knew and friends with them for years possibly that has faced the grave. Well, I want you to take care of that concerning the Lord Jesus before you face the grave. And I would love for you to have the peace of God, as verse 7 tells us, before you face the grave. Because if you don't, this old life has been a waste. And I want you to walk through this life with the peace of God. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing. Matthew chapter 6. We left the study last week. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing and pray about everything. And we're going to see that today. And we're going to Matthew chapter 6. And here are the pages. I hope that you're turning your Bible as well. If again, you cannot have the Bible in front of you, I ask that you would please just follow along with me as I read through the verses of Scripture. Don't worry. And listen to this. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through verse 34. 25 through 34, Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather unto barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We're told here in verse 31, Matthew 6:31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What are we going to put on? Boy, does that here sound like something that you do? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now see, the problem is today that we go out to take care of all these needs. What we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, what we're going to drive, the house we're going to live in, all these things we worry about. And he tells us, I have clothed the grass of the field, and yet it's nothing. Don't you think I'm going to take care of you? The fowl of the air, I feed them. Don't you think I'll feed you? But what happens, my friend, we begin to work the wrong direction. We give unto the world first. We give unto our job, our family, our goals, our leisure, our retirement, our vacation, whatever we give, and we work it out first. We negotiate it first. And then if we have time, and if we have money, then we come to church. Then we serve God. Then we pay an offering. God tells us in his word many times. We're studying back in Deuteronomy chapter 15. We are to give first unto the Lord. We are to give first unto him. And then everything else will come. I am not telling you that you're not to work, because God's very clear in His Word that if you don't work, you don't eat. We're made to work. I don't want you to believe that you can sit back and talk unto the Lord and He'll meet every need that you have. Because if you're seeking His will, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you're seeking His will, you will be working. You'll be doing something. There are folks in this world that can't work. But they're just a handful. There's a multitude that is not working because they're too lazy to work. Now, if you're one of them, I hope that hits you right between the eyes. Because there is something you can do. And you must get to work. But when you're doing that, when you're working, when you're supplying the needs to your family, clothing, food, water, house over their head, as you're doing those things, you must do them in the right order. And the first order is that you turn your life and your heart over to the Lord Jesus. Now you understand now, maybe a little better, that why I ask you to come to Jesus and be saved. Because you must begin there. And then the life is such a peaceful life, a joyful life, walking after the Lord Jesus. And I just shared with you a few minutes ago that we've been through some tough times here the last few months. And I wish I could tell you that I didn't have a worry, and I didn't have a worry in the world. I shouldn't have had. Because you see, I know God was in control. And I know God was taking care of it. But I'd slack off a little bit and I'd begin to worry. I'd begin to worry and my blood pressure begin to go up. Should never happen, should it, my friend? We should turn our eyes upon Jesus. Trust in Him, walk after Him, enjoy Him. We shouldn't worry. God tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, that's the reason that the worry enters in, is because we've got Him turned around. We're taking care of all the things of our life. And then we're giving God any leftovers that's there. And that's the problem. We're not supposed to give God the crumbs from the table. We're not supposed to give God just whatever energy that we seem to have left. You know, for some reason, that's the way we attend church. You know, when we come to church on Sunday morning, we're so tired from the week before that we sleep in on Sunday. We rest on Sunday. Sunday is the first day of the week. That's the day we should be out and awake and going early and be into the house of God and not miss Sunday school, not miss church, not miss Sunday night, not miss Wednesday night. Be in the house of God, enjoying the Word of God, studying the Word of God, fellowshipping with other believers. That should be the most exciting day to every believer. But instead of that, they look at it as a day to catch up. I'm wore out from my week's work, and God, I just don't have enough energy to serve you today. Oh, all right, I'll come to church, but I'm not coming to Sunday school. That's too early. And I surely can't come Sunday night. I got things to do. Can you come Wednesday night? No, I can't come Wednesday night. I got some other things I need to do. My friend, if you're doing that, if you're not in the house of God and that door's open and you're not there, you're worrying, aren't you? You got to be, because you have not set the kingdom of God first. So you've got to be worrying. See, it's very easy. I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, nor do I ever want to be. I want to be a child of God. I am a child of God. I want to be a servant of God. And I am a servant of God. I want to be filled with the power of God. And I love the power of God. I love seeking the kingdom of God first. I love knowing when I turn back to Him, those worries are gone. Let's go back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. Worry is something that ought to be sure pretty familiar with all of us. I think that's something that very common to all of us. We worry, we fret. 1 Peter chapter 5. One more page here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Be sober, be vigilant. That old devil's right there. That old devil loves to make you worry. And you know, when you start to worry, that old devil knows that you've stopped getting your eyes right on Jesus, because you've left a peace and went to a worry. You've left peace and you've went to a worry. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. There's the first problem. Humble yourself. That's a word that has left the vocabulary of the world today. It's even left the vocabulary of the Bible preaching churches today, to humble yourselves. Greatest sin in the church today is pride. And pride is the downfall of everything. Pride. You're sitting in church today, you need to get rid of that pride. You know why you won't come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night? Why you won't involve yourself in a Bible study? All boils down to that silly pride. You're too proud to be a good Christian, aren't you? Well, don't worry, you're not a good Christian if you still got that pride stuck in there. Humble yourselves. I love that. Humble yourselves before the under the mighty hand of God. It's a joy to walk after Jesus. Let's look at James. You'll find that right after Hebrews and right before Peter. James chapter 4. We're going to read verse 13 through 17. Worry. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes it away. We're going to go to verse 17. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. We're kind of back to pride, aren't we? Therefore he to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I ask you, my friend, that you don't let that pride get in there. Realize that this life is just a vapor. You make all kinds of plans. You've made all these plans. And the sad thing is, I don't care whether you're young or old, you've left God out of those plans. I've got to get you back with your eyes on the Lord Jesus, that you seek first the kingdom of God, because I want you to stop this worry. This worry, my friend, is no good. That worry raises your blood pressure. That worry puts wrinkles on your face. That worry does a lot of damage to your physical life. And that worry does a lot of damage to your spiritual life. Because as long as you're worrying, you've not put Jesus first. Now, I've asked you, my friend, today that you come to Jesus and be saved. I've asked you today that you set Jesus Christ first in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I ask that you'll do that today. Now please, begin that sweet, wonderful walk. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?